It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it's time now for our Thursday visit with Dan Pizzuta, who's joined us in the virtual studio. Video Dan, we love to see it. What's up?
There we go. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well here on a football Thursday. We got a Thursday night football tonight. We might talk about that in a little bit, but we'll see how much meat is on the Commander's bone. And on it, from a national perspective, seems to be a lot more than usual this week. That's what happens when your number two overall pick quarterback loses his mind on Monday Night Football. My question for you to start, Dan, though, is from that national perspective, like I was listening to Robert Mays on the Athletic Football Show, and he had Mitchell Schwartz on, and their big takeaway was like, yes, Jaden was incredible. This is worth talking about. This is a big time. But also, good God, Cincinnati's defense is terrible. As you walk away from that game Monday night, all of us here in D.C. are only focused on the Washington side. Where was your focus? Was it what Jaden and this offense did, or was it more like, oh, my God, Cincinnati is in trouble, and that thus frames what we see from Washington?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think from just kind of figuring out what is going to be expected of Washington, it was cool because it was certainly different than what we had seen the first 2 weeks. And I think that is definitely something that is interesting enough in Washington's case to be excited and focus on going forward. And like, it was, and we had talked about it. A lot of this offense was very Cliff Kingsbury horizontal raid-ish, right? All the screens and all of that and the scrambles. But when they came out, there was a very significantly different game plan. They wanted to get out of the pocket more. Jaden Daniels threw on the run more, which is something we talked about last week. So that was good to see added to the game plan. The deep shots in the game were planned up. And so that was another added thing. It does help that Cincinnati's defense is not very good. So I think that did help a new plan probably go as well as it could have. And, you know, when Washington's defense is not very good also, you know, Cincinnati's offense was really good in that game too. And if Washington's, you know, Cincinnati's defense is maybe like a little better, that's like, that's what we're talking about. But it was very encouraging because it was different. It wasn't just what they had been doing the last 2 weeks that got them through. And there were significant changes. And then the way Jaden Daniels was able to just kind of lift that up was really special at the time.
The way I saw it was they actually didn't start off that differently in terms of plan. But the difference was, like, it's funny because I actually think the two incompletions that Jaden winds up having in the entire game are actually two of the most important passes that he threw, because it's two deep balls to Terry that he misses, but he threw them. And we talked about how last week, like, there's no attempts over 20 air yards. And at that point, if you're Cliff in the second half of those games, you're like, what is the point in me calling this deep stuff where my quarterback is exposed, my offensive line is exposed? There's a lot of stuff that could go wrong when I can probably just get 7 yards on a screen and I don't have any of that risk. And to me, when Jaden showed the willingness to throw it, Cliff was like, okay, let's keep going. Does that track at all with the way you saw it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the first miss was actually like really encouraging because it kind of ended up being like that last throw where Jaden had a guy on him. And that's kind of why the throw was off, but it was a well schemed throw that got McCorn open off. I think they sending a blitz, like kind of from depth. They ended up with single high and McCorn is running past them, to the corner. And so that was a well-designed play that they had in rhythm. It just kind of, you know, it threw him off because there was a guy in his face. But yeah, being willing to one call those and for Jaden to throw them, that's awesome. And like, that's what we've seen from him at LSU. So I think the more you can get comfortable with those and believing that he's going to kind of protect himself on some, like even when the defenders are going to be in his face, I think that's going to definitely be a positive for the offense.
Dan Pizzuta with us here on the Hoffman Show, of course, for the 33rd team. You can check out his work in writing form there. Austin Eckler is going to be out for this one for Washington. When you watch their offense and you try to think about how they replace him, like how significant, like we can go the old school radio 1 to 10 slash the scale that everyone uses, like 1 to 10. How big of a deal is the Austin Eckler absence?
It'll be a little bit because, you know, he is he's been a good back, but I think the way that Cliff Kingsbury has been able to design the run game, and that's always been like his strongest thing, even in Arizona when the passing offense was kind of up and down, like there was still a good run offense there. And I think the stress that Jaden Daniels puts on a defense having to defend him in the run game also is going to open up some things. So I think they'll be able to get away with it and still be able to have a decent rushing attack. And I think now with the offense being opened up a little more, that's probably going to open up some more space in the run game too, because now you're going to have to worry about some of those deeper throws and you're not just going to have, you know, defenders sitting on screens and things. So I think that'll also help, you know, open up kind of that second level too.
Yeah, I do wonder where some of those screens that have gone to Eckler, which have been explosive plays for them, go. And I surely mean that from like a personnel standpoint. Do they shift some of those to the receivers? Do they use Jeremy McNichols and just run the same stuff and hope for the best? Ryan Robinson, obviously, and they've got a couple guys on practice squad that I'm assuming one of them, if not multiples, get called up. So that'll be something we obviously track into the weekend. Okay, well, that's the happy news. Now we get to the team that has the worst defensive DVOA in the league. It's the same team. It's the Washington Commanders. I guess what I would ask Dan to start is, when you watch that game Monday night, how much of this is like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are awesome? They put up huge numbers. That's going to kill your statistics. Versus like, man, Washington is making this so easy for Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow to be awesome.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, definitely. It's another answer where it's a little bit of both. I mean, what coming out in single high against the Bengals, I think that's inexcusable just from like a game plan perspective. That's what they feast on. So anytime they saw that, we saw it to the deep, that first touchdown, definitely to Ja'Marr Chase. And then, you know, throughout the game, whenever they came out in single high, they were just like, okay, like this is what we based our offense on for years, like since Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have been together. So it was one of those. And then I think we kind of saw with Cincinnati willing to, you know, spread the ball around a little bit and have like go to Andre Yoshivas when he was open, and that happened. And, you know, Washington does not have the secondary depth to be, you know, guarding a third receiver. And when you have the skill that I think Yoshivas does, like he's been a fun player, since he came out, and getting that bigger role now with Tyler Boyd not there. And, you know, he had that role without T. Higgins for that first two games. So having a guy like that they are willing to go to, it stresses a secondary like Washington's too. And then when you're just lining up in single high and man coverage against Ja'Marr Chase, like you're basically just asking for it. I don't know why a team would do that in 2024. That it seems insane to me. And it was as soon as you saw it happen and it unfolded, it's like, what did you expect?
Yeah, I'll give you the leeway to try it once. Like if you want to dial up a blitz and you need the bodies and you want to try it once in the first half, and Sainer still gets smoked because poor rookie's out there trying his best in his first game at outside corner after playing in the slot. Okay, when like you need to milk the clock and you need them to dink and dunk down the field just from time score situation standpoint, and you give them a one-on-one late in the game with Ja'Marr Chase, that's the one where I'm like, Joe, what are we doing, man?
Yeah, and like that's something like the Bengals will give you, right? Like when they see too high, Joe Burrow like will get the ball out quickly because he doesn't always trust the offensive line. That's kind of what they've been built on also. That's how they've been beating too high for most of the year since, you know, some of the teams' defenses have switched up how they play them because they can't play single high against them. So like he'll throw short and he'll throw some of those, you know, dump offs and check downs and just get the ball out. So if I was, you know, game planning, obviously not a defensive coordinator, but like that, I would much rather try to have Cincinnati beat me that way and like make a guy like Yoshivas beat me on a, you know, a slant every now and again, instead of, you know, leaving those big plays to potentially be there. And that's just a weird, it's still just kind of incomprehensible that was just kind of part of the plan to begin with.
At the same time, I almost feel bad for them because it's like there's no way they played more than five or six, no, certainly no more than 10 snaps of single high. It's just Cincinnati hammered them so thoroughly on those snaps that it stuck out like a sore thumb. So that leads us to this weekend against Arizona, as Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team is with us for his weekly visit here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Like, when you look at Arizona's offense and compare it to Cincinnati's and some of the other offenses that Washington has faced, Kyler's dangerous. Marvin Harrison's sick, but he's still a rookie. James Conner's very dangerous, but the firepower is not the same as Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, because few have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. What is the game plan, the strategy against Kyler and the Arizona offense compared to the, like, we can go with a zero risk game plan that should have been in place last week?
Yeah, the Arizona offense is it's really fun. And I think one of the things is they're really, I don't think, is like a great way to defend it, because they are one of these teams that are going to throw a bunch of different personnel looks at the defense and try to make them match up. Now, I think Trey McBride is still in concussion protocol, which is probably going to hinder some of the stuff they've been doing, because they've been one of these teams that will come out in, you know, 13 personnel with three tight ends, but then they'll be passing from it. So they're getting teams to come in and play really heavy and play base, play like a linebacker that probably isn't on the field all that often, you know, that third linebacker. And then they're getting explosive pass plays. And that's where a lot of the things, so like Marvin Harrison Jr., have been down the field. So I think even if they are only using, you know, two tight ends, they're still going to come out in a lot of 12. They're going to come out in a lot of like 21. I think they're going to try to make Washington play heavy, but then make that be how they expose them in the pass game. And I think that that's going to be really tough, because again, if you play light, Arizona has this really good run game too that still has a lot of the elements that Kliff brought from there. So it is a place where they've been really good at getting openings and explosive runs in a real well schemed up run game. So if you try to play light against some of their, you know, heavier looks, they're just going to run over you. So it's kind of a, you know, a damned if you do, damned if you don't type of thing. So they're a tough offense to defend.
Well, that's interesting, because this is why you sign Jeremy Chinn. Like, this is why you sign a guy who's a hybrid safety linebacker who can get in and thump and is not like, if they're in nickel, like, actually, if I'm trying to run on the Commanders, I'm trying to get them in nickel, like true nickel, where Sainer still's in there on the inside. And like, he's a 5'9 rookie. He's tough, but we'll figure it out. As opposed to like, oh, they're in a bigger nickel or a dime situation, or not a dime, but they have Chinn in there and kind of their base defense or some kind of three safety look. And he's the guy I got to deal with in the box, because he's basically a linebacker anyway. And that's where I wonder, like, how do the Commanders, this is super nerdy all of a sudden, but it's fine. Like, how do the Commanders match 12 personnel and McBride being out, making it so that they can't quite dictate to 13 in the heaviest personnel grouping? Like, that actually could be a really big deal this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think that, like, that's just kind of the stress that Arizona has been putting on, you know, these defenses for the first couple of weeks, and they've been pulling it off, and Kyler has been, you know, pretty good. You know, he's a little up and down last week against the, you know, Detroit defense that was just kind of able to get some pressure, but like he's been making plays, and like he's a guy like Jaden where he can take off, but again, he's one of these guys that if he's outside the pocket, he's still trying to look down the field. It just makes him, you know, one of the most dangerous, you know, quarterbacks in the league, I think, especially this year, the way he's been playing, just kind of the confidence he had after coming back from that injury in the second half of last year. He's so much better than he was, you know, when he came back. So it's just one of those things where, yeah, it's a tough place, because I think Arizona is one of these offenses where they're not going to be the best offense like in the league, but I think they are going to like throw out a bunch of things to make things as difficult as possible.
Yeah, Petzing does a great job as the OC, and yep. Kyler this year, it's kind of interesting because he's fifth in total EPA per drop back, but he's 29th against the blitz in EPA per drop back. But I also don't know that I'd want to, like, if you blitz him, you better get there, because if he gets out on the loose and starts running either to run or to throw, like, that's an explosive play waiting to happen. All right, let's circle all the way back around, Dan, then back to the Commanders offense and what we've seen from this Arizona defense. Jonathan Gannon's real good. And the crew they've got in terms of scheme is super interesting. They do a lot of stuff. When we taped Take Command this morning, my guy Logan Paulson said this is the he thinks this is the most complex of the four defenses that Jaden has seen through four starts. What do you like? What do you see when you watch Arizona on that side of the ball?
Yeah, and they're is certainly one of these defenses, and it kind of is like the offense, and it goes back to what they did last year too, where they don't have a lot of they don't have a lot of talent on that side of the ball, but they make up for it by throwing whatever they can against the wall, and something's going to stick and something's going to confuse them. So they're just given a lot of, they're one of these defenses that is going to be doing a lot of like different pre-snap looks and make a lot of the not just the coverages and disguising, but making the fronts really hard to defend. Match quarters from Cody Alexander, they track, you know, the sim pressures, which is, you know, when you have like five guys on, you're showing like a pressure or a blitz, and four guys are going to rush, but it's not a, you know, traditional four guys. It's, you know, it's a safety or something. And Arizona leads the league in that. They do that on 52% of their pass snaps. So they are showing blitz and they're going to rush four usually, but you don't know which four, and the fourth is usually just not a traditional pass rusher. So it's one of those confusing things where you don't really know exactly what you're looking at the line of scrimmage, and that makes it, you know, harder. And that's usually either, you know, it stops a pass rusher from getting double teamed, it can create a free rusher sometimes, and that's just kind of one of those things. They're just going to throw out a whole bunch of looks, and it's going to make it really tough on the front. It's probably one of those things where, you know, the attacking quickly it might help, because then that stops from having to hold in the pocket, and it's stopping potentially some of those, you know, free rushers or just misidentifying who's coming from really impacting dropbacks on a higher rate. So I could see some of the screens and stuff playing a bigger part here, but yeah, Arizona is just going to be one of those teams that just throws a whole bunch at the wall.
Yeah, it does make me wonder a couple of things with Cliff. Like, he is so good at using formations to give his quarterback information / to protect in the same way that a lot of teams use motion, right? It's like for a lot of these West Coast guys, it's like, we'll send a guy in motion. That's going to be the thing that either messes up the defense because now they have to communicate or whatever. And for Cliff, he's like, we might just use wide splits and be like, hey, this, we're going to make sure that if you're going to send a corner, that he's going to have to show that blitz because he's coming from so wide, or he's not going to get there because he's going to have to hold his disguise out wide. And then obviously the screen game takes away. We're playing cover six match, you know, just this amoeba nonsense coverage on the back end that's impossible to decipher. It doesn't matter if you throw a screen, as long as you have the good numbers in the box. So I really do feel like, you know, some of the stuff that Cliff does and you know, at times I think frustrates people, but it is also sometimes a strength, can be a real weapon here to help Jaden simplify what is a fairly, as you said, complex defense.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case too. And, you know, when you're, especially for a guy like Cliff, who, like you said, uses the formations, then uses the pace to push everything forward. So it is going to be harder if there are, you know, very, you know, wide splits, and, you know, you're not going to be able to, if you're doing complicated things on the front, and then you're asking, you know, one of your edge rushers to kind of drop into coverage, you're really asking a lot of those. And I think we kind of saw that, like, there were teams that were able to put the Rams in a lot of unenviable positions last year when they were doing some of that. Like, they would just have like a five down front, but they would have like a 300-pound like Michael Hawk, who is playing defensive end for them, like would be dropping like on 25% of his coverages. And then there were teams that just kind of started to exploit that and put them into situations. So I think like Washington could be a team who's able to do some of those things to the Arizona front. But yeah, I think this is going to be a matchup where a stop or two is probably going to help, because I think this is one where both offenses still have the advantage on each side of the ball. And if you can kind of just get one thing to go right on defense, you're probably feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah, here's to another week off for Tress Way. Please, please, no punts. Tress only holding. That's your new job. Dan Pizzuta, read his work at the 33rd team. Always great stuff, dude. It's really fun to kind of dive into the trends from around the league through the lens of the Commanders. We appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Always have a good time.